Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. You haven't heard from us for a few days because we've had a lot going on over here. Quite a bit, actually. Some things that you've probably seen if you're a regular reader of the Libertarian Republic. If you follow us on Facebook or social media, you've seen the emergence of a new property that is owned by the same team that brought you the Libertarian Republic, a new website called LibertyViral.com. And there's been quite a bit of controversy since it came on the scene just a week and a half ago. And quite a bit has changed around here too at the Libertarian Republic. If you're a regular listener of the podcast and you haven't heard from us and you didn't listen to us last week, if you missed our shows last week, you would have known that our associate editor, Ian Hewitt, unfortunately had to leave. He decided that he wanted to go to law school, so more power to him. He's going to go take the LSATs. He's on vacation this week with his family, and then he's heading back to the state of Kansas to continue his education, and he will be greatly missed. Ian was a wonderful man and a great young mind for liberty. So if you guys really appreciated Ian Hewitt, there's still time. Send us an email to thelibertarianrepublic.com. Tell us what you thought, and I will pass on your thoughts to Ian, who is a fantastic young man who did a fantastic job here. He was my co-host. And now it's just me here on the podcast for now. And I think that it gives me a chance to talk to you people because, you know, when you have a show, you know, I really feel a lot of pressure to sort of give you guys the news and as condensed a view as possible to give you guys, to showcase to you all what I think are the best ways to advance libertarian ideas based on the hottest news topics of the day. And certainly we're going to talk about one of those hottest news topics today. We're going to talk about the big dust-up surrounding actor Gary Oldman. We're going to talk a little bit about free speech and things like that. But first, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around here at the Libertarian Republic, because I know a lot of our listeners are probably interested to hear what's going on with our new project at LibertyViral.com. If you hadn't heard, then you've probably been living under a rock these last few days. We had a very controversial piece come out last week called The Top 20 Hottest Libertarian Women. And, you know, that generated a lot of controversy for obvious reasons. You know, some people said, you know, oh, this is objectification. You know, you're saying these women are hot and that just sort of degrades what they're doing, you know, professionally. And then other people, I think, were upset perhaps that they didn't make it on the list. I mean, most of the men who were upset, because we did a top 20 hottest libertarian men list as well. Most of the men who were upset said specifically, oh, well, I'm just mad that I didn't make the list. But none of the women came out and said that openly. Some of them said it to me privately. But, you know, the purpose was to generate publicity for the new website, Liberty Viral, and to sort of spark a conversation, which I think it did, because interestingly enough, many of the feminist libertarians wrote pieces about, they sort of had roundtables on their websites. One was Kathy Reisenwitz at Sex and the State and Gina Luttrell at Thoughts on Liberty. They talked about whether or not it was sexist to appear on the list. And actually, you know what the funny thing is despite the controversy and the anger at, you know, not being on the list, despite all this controversy, there actually was a lot of good that came out of it. There was some bad, and some things that I can't discuss on this podcast that were bad, that were actually very heartbreaking for me personally. But the good things that came out of the list were that two of the women who made it on the list actually got booked to appear on Fox News because they appeared on the list. Now, Fox News anchor Eric Bolling, which if you're not familiar with Fox News, you don't watch television or something, Eric Bolling is actually one of the hosts of the extremely popular news channel, The Five. Eric Bolling actually shared the list on his Facebook page, which ended up giving us a ton of publicity, and I really appreciate Eric Bolling for doing that, especially considering we've sort of had a rocky past, but he's really been turning libertarian a lot these years, so I sort of, I'm really excited to see what's going on with Eric Bolling these days, just because he really seems to have taken a turn for the better on issues like privacy and Rand Paul and Edward Snowden and things like that. But the top 20 hottest libertarian list was obviously, you know, meant to drum up publicity for the new website, but it was also meant to sort of showcase these women and to show that they were, who they were and what they're doing. And most of the women, I think almost all of them who were on the site, who were on the list, actually made, an attempt to reach out to me and say thank you, and a lot of them shared the content on their sites. So I think it was a job well done overall. I think the negative publicity from that was mostly some of my friends who were upset about it, saying that this was demeaning, degrading. But I think that they probably didn't read it, because I wasn't sexualizing these women in this post. I actually sexualized the men a little bit when I made the men's post the next day. But that was, of course, all in good fun, just teasing and being silly. I'm a little bit of a prankster and jokester, and I think it's important to sort of have a sense of levity. I think it's important to be funny and to be silly and to have a little fun. There was a guy by the name of Eric Jensen, and he wrote a post on Facebook the other day about the top 20 hottest libertarian list. And he said, "This is why libertarians are not taken seriously." And, at first I was like, it kind of like got me, maybe it hurt my feelings a little bit. And I thought to myself, but then, I reject that. And I think, first of all, that nobody outside the libertarian community really cares. But even if they did, who wants to live their life being taken seriously? I posted this on my Facebook page the other day as a method of debate, because people are like, you want to be taken seriously. You want to be taken seriously. Well, people who want to be taken seriously all the time, who wants to live their life seriously? I know that there's a lot of scholars and eggheads and nerds and academics and introverts and people like that who they just want to live their life seriously all the time. They want to live their life seriously. And I don't. I don't want to live my life seriously. I like to have fun. I like to have a joke. I like to kiss and talk and make love and be silly and funny. I think that's really part of what makes me me. And I'm not going to change that, And I'm not going to let this town change me. Sometimes people give me crap. They're like, "Oh, Austin Peterson, you're a beltway libertarian." You're a beltway insider libertarian, just sucking up to the establishment, stuff like that. No, if I was just sucking up to the establishment, I would not be such a prankster, a trickster, a jokester. I would not use such colorful language or be so politically incorrect or bash feminists or call out, political incorrectness like the one we're going to talk about here with Gary Oldman in just a moment. I would not be doing that if I was just trying to cozy up to power. Now, I know a lot of people who are here in D.C. who are just cozying up to power, and they don't like me, ladies and gentlemen. They don't like what I'm doing. They try and stay as far away from me as they can because they have got to play in the big leagues, they say. And that's fine. That's fine for them. I'm going to be doing what I do best, and that is to inform and entertain you, because that's my job here in the media. I'm not here to kiss anybody's butt or to tell lies, because that is so against my nature. And I would rather leave this town if I thought that it was going to change me for the worse. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that if you listen to this podcast, you're a regular listener. You probably do it because you trust me, ladies and gentlemen, and maybe you don't know me. But I want to talk to you right now, to the people who are the listeners, who are the true believers, the real libertarians. I appreciate you, and I want you to know that you can trust me, because I am not going to do anything that I think would compromise my ethics. And my ethics are to speak truth to power and to be entertaining. And sometimes being entertaining means being a little bit of a goofball. Not so ridiculous as to invite, the calumny of respected people, people like my friends, Judge Andrew Napolitano and people like that. But again, you can't please everybody all the time, and you shouldn't try. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't please everyone all the time. You shouldn't try to. You can't. And you shouldn't try. People who live their whole lives trying to please everyone, just like, we're going to talk about Gary Oldman here in a minute. People who live their whole lives trying to make other people happy, they're not happy themselves. You know, you have to make yourself happy. And you know what makes me happy? Speaking truth to power. You know, and I'm going to go out... be on Russia Today, and I'm going to speak truth to power. You know, people are always like, Austin, why do you go on Russia Today? They say, why do you go on the Kremlin's propaganda network, blah, blah. You know why I do it? It's to speak truth to power. It's because I know that if I'm given the opportunity, somebody hands you a microphone, and you can advance your set of ethics and your agenda, you should do it. And so I don't think that we ought to be stifling debate in this country. And I know that, you know, the 20 hottest libertarian women isn't something like some sort of highbrow policy discussion of that would be suppressed. But, you know, people would like to suppress that, you know, and here's the thing. A lot of good came out of it. A couple of women that I know who were on the list, they got their careers advanced. A lot of women who were on the list, who didn't get, you know, booked for Fox, they definitely got their names and faces out there. And they became more well-known. You know, one of the women who was on the list, you know, she's the lawyer from, I don't think it's any secret, Lindsay Bolton. She's the lawyer from Louisiana. You know, she was booked on Fox, and now she's, you know, she's getting fantastic opportunities at her workplace because she's now sort of famous. So I'm glad I did it. And I'm sorry that, you know, some people's feelings are hurt. I definitely didn't want to hurt people's feelings. I think that there was a lot of misunderstandings. Maybe a lot of people who didn't actually read the list thought that it was some sort of objectification. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the truth. And I want you to know that I hold myself to a high standard, but I don't take myself too seriously. And neither should you. Now, let's talk about the news of the day. Enough ranting. Okay, so this comes from Nick Gillespie over at Reason Magazine, and he's talking about these very, you know, sort of hostile remarks that Gary Oldman made about Nancy Pelosi. You know, he calls himself a libertarian in this interview with Playboy Magazine, which I found very fascinating. And then he went on to say a bunch of really, you know, very rude things, which I guess I would never say. You know, I just don't talk like this. I mean, I guess that's just not how I was raised. You know, I guess I sort of envy people who have that chutzpah to say, you know, so things that are very rude and not give a damn what other people think. You know, I certainly have that sort of quality, but I guess, you know, being raised in a little town south of Kansas City and, you know, from a majority Christian family, I have a sort of genteelness that has been ingrained in me that Gary Oldman doesn't have. He's a little bit rougher edge than me, but listen to some of this stuff. This is what Nick Gillespie says. Gary Oldman outed himself as a libertarian immediately after ruminating on how unfair it is that he isn't allowed to call Representative Nancy Pelosi a see you next Tuesday, a effing useless see you next Tuesday. And see you next Tuesday is sort of an acronym for the female body part, the C word, if you know what I'm saying here. He called Nancy Pelosi the C word. Gary Oldman, he basically was defending offensive outbursts by fellow rageaholic thespians Mel Gibson and Alec Baldwin. And this is what Oldman said about Alec Baldwin. Alec calling someone an F-A-G in the street while he's pissed off coming out of the building because they won't leave him alone. I don't blame him. So they persecute him. Mel Gibson is in a town that's run by Jews, and he said the wrong thing because he's actually bitten the hand that I guess has fed him. And he doesn't need to feed him anymore because he's got enough dough. He's like an outcast, a leper, you know? But some Jewish guy in the office somewhere hasn't turned and said, that effing kraut, or F those Germans, whatever it is. We all hide and try to be so politically correct. That's what gets me. It's just the sheer hypocrisy of everyone that we all stand on this thing going, isn't that shocking? All right, shall I stop talking now? What else can we discuss? Now, he obviously got smacked down from the ADL. And some of you who are listening, you may be wondering, why are you censoring yourself, Austin? Why are you not saying bad words? Well, you know, it's because I self-censor, and there's some very good reasons for that. One, I think that it actually gives me a wider audience. More people are more likely to listen to the show. You know, you can't play this podcast in your in the car while your kids are listening, if I'm saying all that, so I can get more listeners. And two, because my advertisers would actually pull out. And that, to me, is sort of a market policing of speech that it finds offensive, because my advertisers would pull out if I was cursing all the time. So that's the marketplace policing free speech, and that's, we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Now, after public denunciations from the Anti-Defamation League and Simon Wiesenthal Center, Gary Oldman has apologized. Now, this is Gary Oldman's apology. He says, "I am deeply remorseful that comments I recently made in the Playboy interview were offensive to many Jewish people. Upon reading my comments in print, I see how insensitive they may be and how they may indeed contribute to the furtherance of a false stereotype." So basically, Gary Oldman is responding to the ADL and, you know, sort of the Jewish lobby, who is saying that, you know, he's perpetuating stereotypes that Jews, you know, run Hollywood, which is basically what Mel Gibson kind of got crap for several years ago when he went off on an anti-Semitic rant. And it's kind of, you know, obviously what he said is, you know, there's a sliver of truth to it, perhaps. So I guess, you know, you've kind of got to, like, look at him with maybe a little bit of sympathy, but then, you know, stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason sometimes, but I also think that, you know, it's not entirely true. I mean, there are a lot of non-Jewish people in Hollywood, and certainly, I mean, look at the mainstream actors. I mean, the people who are the biggest actors are definitely not Jewish people. But what does it even matter, I guess, is my question. I mean, why is it so important to sort of to point this out? I mean, there's Jews in a lot of professions. I guess, why the special exception towards Hollywood? I mean, the Jews are sort of, you know, they're in banking, you know, you've got Jews in all sorts of industries. And I mean, you know, if anything, it just shows that they're smart enough to go and get into the industries where it's very lucrative. You know, I'm sure a lot of cultures wish that they had an embedded institutionalized support amongst, you know, some of these major industries. But I mean, I guess the thing is that, you know, they're also very, you know, they're nervous about being stereotyped. For good reasons, just because whenever people start talking about the Jews, quote unquote, you know, usually somebody's like, you know, starts waving a flag around, and you know, there's definitely anti-Semitic parties that have power across the world. You know, you don't want to be a Jew in Greece right now with the Nazi party as it is. So I guess I wonder why people feel the need to point it out. I feel like it's just sort of redundant at this point. It's like, you know, well, yeah, there's Jews in Hollywood. Yeah, there's Jews in banks. So freaking what? You know, I mean, I don't understand why people feel like the need to point this out. Now, he was defending Mel Gibson from the politically correct police, which there is absolutely, you know, needs to be discussed. You know, I recently was on the John Stossel show on Fox Business, and we were talking about the CEO of Mozilla Firefox, who had to step down because he donated $1,000 to Proposition 8 in California, and it was a big deal because it came back to bite him in the butt. He, you know, it was sort of public records that he had done so, and he was kind of forced to, he wasn't forced to resign. The pressure was so much that he resigned voluntarily. And I guess I just wonder, you know, how far does political correctness go? I mean, how far should it, you know, should it go? Because people were saying, oh, this is a witch hunt. So the guy that I debated on Fox with DeRoy there was saying, well, this is a witch hunt. This is terrible. People shouldn't lose their jobs because of free speech. I disagreed. I feel like people, you know, you have your free speech, but my argument is that you can't be protected from the consequences of your speech, meaning that, yeah, you can say whatever you want, and the government shouldn't be able to censor you, but if Gary Oldman and Mel Gibson get a backlash from the Jewish community, they shouldn't be protected from that. So, listen to this. You know, Jimmy Kimmel had Gary Oldman on the show last night to basically apologize, because Gary Oldman's basically on an apology tour. The Washington Post was reporting on this morning, and actually, if you go to libertyviral.com right now, you'll find on the front page the video of Gary Oldman apologizing on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Listen to this. This is from the Washington Post. Gary Oldman probably never bet his top-notch acting skills could work against him, but then again, he probably never imagined he would be doing an apology tour defending himself against charges of anti-Semitism. So far, it doesn't seem to be going so well. Although, really, how well do these things usually go? After writing a letter of apology to the Anti-Defamation League, which they rejected, he said, you know, Gary Oldman said, Mel Gibson's in a town that's run by Jews, and he said the wrong thing because he's actually bitten the hand that I guess has fed him. And so he started with a deep breath on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and he said, I said some things that were poorly considered, and once I had seen it in print, I could see that it was offensive, insensitive, pernicious, and ill-informed. He says, you know, words have meaning, they carry weight, and they carry on long after you said them, and I don't condone or excuse the words I used, well, in any context. You know, I feel like Gary Oldman is making a pretty good attempt at a heartfelt apology here. I feel like, you know, it's like he's really trying, but the ADL rejected his, they rejected his apology. They said, while his apology may be heartfelt, he says, Mr. Oldman does not understand why his words about Jewish control were so damaging and offensive, and it is therefore insufficient. Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I don't know if Gary Oldman is familiar, but there has been a lot of anti-Jewish propaganda that was, especially that what was spread before World War II, which, you know, sort of helped the facilitate the rise of the Nazis. And there was this one propaganda book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And it was a fabrication. And it a lot of the myths and rumors of that book still exist today. You know, not a lot of people know, but Henry Ford, the guy, the founder of Ford Motor Company, he actually was very much an anti-Semite. He wrote a book called The International Jew, and it perpetuated a lot of these rumors about Jewish control, you know, quote-unquote Jewish control. And I feel like you have to be sensitive to that kind of stuff. I mean, you don't have to not say what you're saying, but I mean, if Gary Oldman is saying he's ill-informed, that may be the case, because I would certainly never go out and say, oh, Jewish control or something like that. Because I think it's very much a conspiracy theory, you know, to say, oh, the Jews control everything. Well, then, if that's the truth, then how did Mel Gibson get all of his money? You know, how is Gary Oldman getting all of his, you know, acting opportunities? You know, and Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, a lot of these people aren't Jewish. There's a lot of people in Hollywood who aren't Jewish. So when you talk about Jewish control, yeah, there may be a lot of people who are Jewish at the top of studios, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not hiring non-Jews, you know? And besides, you know, to me, it just seems ridiculous to point out somebody's ethnic heritage as some sort of indicator of their amount of control or something like that. That's ridiculous. You know, white people don't like it when they say, people say to us, liberals say to us, oh, check your privilege, you Tea Party racist. So I guess I can, and they write letters. I mean, come on. When Tea Partiers get called a racist by somebody on MSNBC, Tea Partiers freak out, they write letters, they wage campaigns, and they get all outraged online. So why can the Jews not have their own equivalent of that? So I guess I'm defending free speech, the free speech of Gary Oldman, but I'm also adding a little bit of salt to it and saying that, you know, you have to understand where the Jewish people are coming from. And, you know, the ADL, the tactics of the ADL can definitely be hostile, and they absolutely, you know, you have to kind of look at them with a grain of salt too, because these pressure groups like this, they can oftentimes go overboard. It can be like the Southern Poverty Law Center. It'd be a bunch of wackadoos, you know, who have a political agenda. But, you know, again, when you're talking about the things that Mel Gibson said and the things that Gary Oldman said, I think that they're just not true. You know, you talk about Jewish control. Again, you have to be a conspiracy theorist to believe in the idea of Jewish control. Or, you know, again, like, or white people control. Again, white privilege, you know. To me, it's the same concept. White privilege, Jewish control. These are the kind of topics that I think, you know, people get upset about because it's just not true. So I want to know what you guys think, ladies and gentlemen. I've probably ranted about this topic long enough, and I could go on and on. But I mean, again, my whole point with this topic is that you have your free speech, but you're not free from the consequences of your free speech. And I think that no matter what, if you agree with Gary Oldman and maybe you think that he, you know, should be able to say whatever he wants, then you should, if you're a libertarian, you should at least agree, you shouldn't be immune from the consequences of your free speech. And that's the Freedom Report podcast for today. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Do us a favor, check out thelibertarianrepublic.com. We got some new stories up today. And check out our sister site, libertyviral.com. Libertyviral.com is where you go when you don't have a whole lot of time to read the news. Certainly we don't write a whole lot over at Liberty Viral. It's just viral content, videos, and short little clips and snippets and pictures. Interesting things for you, very shareable, very bite-size. So check it out. Go to LibertyViral.com and LibertarianRepublic.com every single day. Your homes for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.